Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Vav Amud Bet, looking at the third and then the fourth Mishnayot of the fourth Perek, which is relatively brief. The Gemara in it is relatively brief, so we'll already begin the fifth also. Sanhedrin Haitak Chatzi Goren Agula. Sanhedrin was shaped like a half granary, meaning like a crescent. So all the members should see each other. And we saw this already, that you have two reporters on each side writing both of the arguments of both sides. He says there was three. There were three. One writes the arguments of those who acquit, and one writes the arguments of those who convict, and one writes both. And there were three rows of scholars who sat in front of them. Everybody knew their own place. Let's say somebody died, and so they needed to give smicha so that somebody could join the Beit Din. They take from the first row, the guy in the first seat. The guy from the second row comes into the first row. The guy from the third row comes to the second row. And of course, we're left with one empty seat. They pick a third guy from the group and he sits in the third row. He wouldn't go to the first seat, he'd go to the last seat. Okay, how do we know that it's in a crescent? I mentioned in the last podcast that many of the Psukim and Shirashim are learned as being descriptives of the Sanhedrin. We saw this Pasuk invoked in the first parak in the context of the prohibition of the Sanhedrin to leave. But here, it's like your stomach is like a crescent. All right, Shareich is Sanhedrin. Lamani Krashma Shareich. Why are they called that? Yoshev Tiburosh Olam, because they sit in the Beit Hamikdash, which is the Omphalos, the center, the belly button of the world, as it were. Agan, what's that? She Miginal Kol Alam Kula. They protect the world. Hasahar, why? She Domel Hasahar. It looks like a crescent. What's Al Yechsar Hamazeg? And this we saw in the first parak. Shemutzrach Echad Miham Latzeit. If somebody wants to leave to take care of whatever business, they want to make sure there's at least 23 there. Yotzei v'mlaval yeno yotzei. The mezig cannot be gone. B'nechar matchitim. So the next pasuk is, your stomach is like a pile of wheat. Ma'ar matchitim akol nehenimena. Just like everybody gets benefit from that. Av Sanhedrin akol nehenimena. Everybody gets benefit from their arguments. Even the ones who lose get benefit from the arguments. Now, later in the parak says, sugaba shoshanim. Use a hedge of roses, hedged in by roses, meaning Ashafilu Sugashal Shoshnim Lefritzubran Pratzot, that if Sanhedrin establishes a fence around something which is very light, it's not a big wall, nobody breaks it. Panar Marleahu Mina Rav Kahana. There was a story of a heretic who said to Rav Kahana, Amritu Nida Shari Lihudi Bahadi Gavra. You guys, you Jews say that you rabbinates say that a woman who's a nida can be alone with her husband. You can have a fire there that's not going to burn. In other words, certainly they'll have relations. The Torah testified that a hedge of roses is enough to protect. Resh Lakish amar mihacha. He had a different pasuk. Kefelach raimon rakatech, meaning that literally your temple is like a slice of pomegranate, but the drush is afilu rikanim shabach lein mitzvot kerimon. Even the empty ones that you have are full of mitzvot. So even the simple people are able to fulfill that mitzvah. Rezer Mamihach, he had a different pasuk, Vayarach et Reach B'gadav. Yitzchak smelled the smell of his clothes, Yaakov's clothes, and he said, oh, it's like the garden of God. Altukei B'gadav Ela Bogdav. He smelled not his clothes, but rather those who rebelled, meaning even the ones who rebel are still good. Hanu Bir Yoni Dav Shivute Rabbi Zera. Beautiful story. There were some tough guys who lived in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood. He tried to carve them, but they should become observant. The Rabbanon were not happy that he was associated with these guys. When he died, Amri, they said, until now, the short guy with the those particular legs, and he used to make fun of Rabbi Zeira, used to pray for us. Who's going to daven for us? His colleagues don't like us. So they did tshuva. They realized they needed to do it themselves. So it worked. All right, the Mishnah that says Shalosh Shurot. Amar Abaye, Shmamina, Ki Naidi, Kulu Naidi. That when they move, they all move. Means everybody shifts. V'leim aluhu ad ha'id na ha'v'yativ na b'reisha ha'shtamot v'itulib in b'nedanbi. Why doesn't the guy who's at the head of the second row, who now is going to be at the back of the first row, say, until now I was at the head of the row, now I'm going to be in the back? Better to be a tail of lions than to be a head of foxes, meaning it's better to be at the back of the first row than the head of the second row. Okay, the next Mishnah, and we will only read part of it, because as we've done in the past, because it's very long, and because the Gemara will analyze, the Gemara we're going to do in this podcast will only analyze part of it. Ketzad ma'amina ta'edim, how do we scare the edim so that we make sure they're telling the truth? Al edin afashot, if you have somebody testifying about a capital case, they would threaten them as follows. Shema tumrumi omed umishmua, maybe you're going to say it was an estimation, like circumstantial evidence, or you heard a rumor. Eid mi pieto, you heard it from somebody else. Um pi adam nemad, you heard a trustworthy person say that this happened. In other words, you didn't really see it. Shema iatem yodin shesofenu livdoketchem b'dushim hachakira. Don't you know we're going to run you through dushim hachakira? You better say now that you didn't really see it. Havu yodin shelok din mamonot din afashot. Know that a capital case is not like a civil case. Din mamonot adam no ten mamonot mitkaperlo. Mamonot, if you mess up, so you pay and it's okay. Din afashot damo v'dam zarotav zarotav tulyimbo at sof haolam. If you cause somebody to be killed who shouldn't be killed, his blood and the blood of all the kids he could have had are hanging over you. This is what happened when Cain killed Hevel. God said to Cain, the bloods of your brother are crying out from the ground. Not the blood, but the bloods. Damo v'dam zarotav, meaning his blood and the blood of all of the kids he could have had. That his blood was spread out all over the rocks and there's like blood all over the place. We'll pick up the rest of the Mishnah in the next podcast, but let's go right now to the Gemara. First of all, let's talk about the particular kind of threat that they issue. Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad Me'umad, how do you, Me'umad, how do you, what do they mean when they say an estimation? I mean, that you thought maybe what you saw was circumstantial. Omer Lahen, Shema Kachrita, maybe you saw this. One guy chased another guy into a building. We ran after him. And you found that the one guy had a sword in his hand and there was blood on it. And the other guy's dying there, spazzing and dying. That's not testimony. You didn't see him kill him. There's a story. It's an oath. I saw this happen. Exactly what was described. I said, who killed him? It's either you or me. Meaning, it's obviously you. But I'm not allowed to kill you because, after all, I didn't really see it. But God, who knows all thoughts, he'll punish you. This, by the way, is the same phrase that Shimon Shetach used in the first parak, when he talked about the people who refused to stand up to Alexander Yanai. Amrulo zazmi shamach banachash vechisho. So what happened? Immediately a snake came and bit this guy and killed him. Who made? All right. V'hai banachashu, wait a second. Since when is a snake supposed to kill him for murder? Watch this. V'yamar v'yosei v'chein tanin v'chizki amiyom shachar betamikdash v'nisha bat la sanhedri arbamitot lo badlu. Even though the Sanhedrin's gone, nonetheless the arbamitot aren't gone. We saw this in Ketubot, also in the third parak. Lobatlu, babatlu, what do you mean? They are gone. Eladin aramitot lobatlu, meaning that God still uses judges that way. Mishad chayev skila, if somebody's chayev skila, what happens? When a film in a gag, he falls off a roof. O chayador sato, he gets beaten, destroyed by, torn up by an animal. Mishad chayev srefa, if somebody's chayev srefa, ono felbi leka, he falls into a fire. O nachash mechisho, or a snake bites him and the poison is like fire. Somebody who should have be decapitated. He ends up being handed over to the Romans. Holistin by love, he gets attacked by armed criminals. Somebody who's supposed to be asphyxiated, or either he drowns or he gets diphtheria. So, in other words, why did this guy who killed somebody, which means he's chayv herig, why did he get bitten by a snake, which is God's way of srefa? So Amri, who chayt achrit yavave? The answer is he was chayv something else also. If you're chayv two mitot betin, you get the more severe one. And srefa is more severe than hereg. We'll see that later in the Masachet. Okay, mi'omed. Now, mi'omed, bedinan nefashot hudalo amdinan. Ha bedinan mamonot amdinan. It sounds like, because the Mishnah said, in dinan nefashot, this is what we do, when we say you can't use circumstantial testimony. But that means in mamonot you do? Kaman, Kaviyacha, it sounds like Kaviyacha, the Tan Kaviyacha Omer, Gamalha Ocher Ben Agmali. If you have a camel that's going crazy among other camels, and then you find a dead camel, we know this one killed him, and therefore the owner's chayiv. So in Dine Momonot, circumstantial evidence is good enough. So but our Mishta also said, maybe you guys heard Ein Mipiyet. We accept Ein Mipiyet and Dine Momonot. Vatnan, we had in the third parakim, Amar Li Shani Chayav Lo. Remember, if a guy testifies and says, this guy told me he's chayiv, or Ish Ploni Amar Li Shu Chayav Lo, or somebody else told me he's chayiv, Lo Amar Klum, that's nothing. Ad Shu Amar B'Fanino Hodalo Shu Chayav Lo Matayim Zuz. Until the Edim could testify that the Lova admitted in front of them to the Malva that he's chayiv, which means Edim P.A. doesn't work in Dinim Amonot either. So Alma Afal Gav, the Pasli B'Dinim Amonot, Amrino Lo B'Dinim Nefashot, even though it's a psul, even dinim mamonot, it's mentioned in our Mishnah among dinim nefashot. Hachanam v'gav the psul of psuli, but dinim mamonot, amrin aluhu b'dinim nefashot. So omed also, circumstantial testimony, is also invalid in dinim mamonot, even though it's mentioned here, and not like Rabbi Acha, and therefore, in the case of the camel, we'd say you're not chayiv until you actually saw that camel kill the other camel. Alright, we said that havu yodim. And now we're going to see some agadot about Kain. This is a famous midrash that Kain kept killing Hevel and also making all sorts of holes in him. He didn't know where to kill somebody. He killed him until he got to his neck and then he died, which is why the blood was all over, as the Mishnah says. From the time the land opened its mouth to accept the dam of Hevel, Shuv lo patcha, the earth never opened up again. Shenamar miknafa aretz zimrat shamanu tzvila tzadik. Miknafa aretz v'lo mipi aretz, meaning the corner of the land said it, but not the mouth. The mouth of the earth, whatever that is, never opened up again. So eitam chizki achiv, v'tiftachar tzipia. Chizki, Rav Yehuda's brother, said, what are you talking about? Korach, it said the land opened its mouth. Mleila ra'a patcha, yeah, to accept the Russia it did. Tova lo patcha, but not to accept a good guy like Hevel, an innocent guy. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rei Rabbi Chiya, Galut mechaperet avon mechza. Galut clears half of your sins if you go into exile. Why? Mikaraktiv, when Kayin was first killed, Hevel, it says, Vaiti navanad, I'll be moving and traveling. Softiv, Vayeshav Eretz Nod, he settled in the land of Nod, which means a plan word Nod is a plan word Nod, that he wasn't traveling anymore. And the Galut was the fact that he exiled himself, already took care of half of his sin. Rabbi Yehuda, Galut mechaperet shlosha dvarim. It takes care of three things. Shnemar, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Hayoshev ba'ir azot yamut becherav b'ra'av u'devar. Anybody who stays in the city will die by the sword and by hunger and by plague. Hayotzev v'nafala kastiv atzoyim alechem yichyev aitalo nafshal shalal. Somebody who leaves will be taken by the Babylonians and will work for them, and that he'll save his life. So you go into exile, you'll be saved. Yochamar galut mechaperet ala kol. It's mechaper everything. Shnemar, that's what Hashem says about Yechonya, kitvu ta isha ze ariri. Gever lo yitzlach b'yamav, ki lo yitzlach mizoro ish yoshev al kiseh davin, and moshel ir od b'yehuda. He will have no kids. Uvatar de gala, what does it say after Yechonya went into Galut? Uvnei Yechonya, asir shalti el beno. He had kids. So you see that going into Galut was machaper. Why is he called Isar? She brato imo b'veit asurin. Yechonya impregnated his wife in prison. Shalti el why? Sheshatlo el shalok ederach hanishtalim. That God planted him, this child, in a way that's not normally conceived. That a woman cannot get pregnant while she is standing. This woman has been in prison. Somehow we have a tradition that Yechonya impregnated his wife while she was standing. Was that? That God, as it were, asked to be released from his vow and allow Yechonya to have kids. Now, why is the next one called Zerubbabel? Shenizra b'Bavel. He was conceived in Bavel. Umashmo Nechemya ben Chechel Yashmo. Interesting that they say Zerubbabel is Nechemya. Yehuda v'Chezkiya b'nei Rabchiya. So the same two brothers. Havayat v'sudatak kami Rabbi. They were sitting in front of Rabbi. V'avika amri v'lo midi. They were silent. Amra lehu agbru chamra adardik. He gives some wine to these kids. Hecharalim yomilta. Let them open their mouth. They're quiet. Give them some wine. Came in Eve, so once they got a little drunk, Patchu v'amru, Ein ben David ba'ad sheichlu shnei abetei avot miYisrael. Moshiach won't come until two dynasties will be gone. Ve'elu en rosh golam bavel v'nasi shveret Yisrael. Which means they're looking at Rebbe and saying, until your dynasty dies out, Moshiach can't come. Shemar v'ayal mikdash u'le'evan negaf u'letzur michshol l'shnei batei Yisrael. Moshiach, this is in one of the famous prophecies in Yeshayahu, the Moshiach Well, this will be a sort of a slip stone, a tripping stone, and a michshol for the two houses, meaning that these two houses will be a michshol for Mashiach to come. You're sticking thorns in my eyes? Rebbe says, Rebbe Chia, their father said, Rebbe, please, don't be upset. Yayin and sod, secrets, both add up to 70 in gematria. Which I tell you, they said something that was on their mind, but they didn't intend to hurt you. Somehow Rav Chista said this. That God was very quick to bring the evil meaning the downfall of Tzidkiyahu and the destruction of the Mikdash, because Hashem is a tzaddik. Shum tzaddik Adonai v'yishkod Adonai l'ra'ah v'yivyal aleinu, because God is a tzaddik, he is quick to bring punishment. That he destroyed and brought Tzidkiyahu into exile while Yechoniah was still alive, and the people from Yechoniah's exile were alive. What does it say about Galut Yechoniah? Hacharash v'masker elef. The artisans were 1,000. What's that? Harash kivan shepotchin hakol nasin karcharashin. The harash is an allusion to great scholars he had that when they would speak, everybody would be silent. Masker, what's that? Kevan shesogrin v'halacha shuv ein potchin. When they would finish their shiur, that was it. Nobody could speak. They were great, great scholars. And they were still around. Chamayu elef, there were 1,000 of them. And therefore, they were still around when Tzidkiyahu was destroyed, so there was already a, when everybody went to Bavel, there was already a foundation of Torah. Ulamar shikdim shtei shanim levno shantem. What was the tzidkut? That God sped up the destruction by 2 years to beat Venoshantem. Because the gematria of Venoshantem is 854. And it was 852 years after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, after they entered the land, sorry, that the exile happened. That when Hashem says you're going to be destroyed quickly, quickly means 852. And what happened is Hashem sped it up, sorry, to 850 years. That's 410 years of the Mikdash, and another 440 years since they entered the land, 850 years. At that point, the Mikdash is destroyed, because had they been longer, then it would have been a total destruction. So Hashem was a tzaddik to have it come quickly so that it would not be an utter destruction. Okay, we'll pause at this point. In the next podcast, we'll go back and finish the Mishnah and then finish our study of the Perek with these long agadot and daf lamed chet through lamed tet. Everybody should have a wonderful day.